This is the Full Press Colts Podcast with your host, Jay Stevens.
The voice you just heard, that was Mr. Corey Thompson. I really appreciate him helping out with the intro and spicing it up the way that he did. I am your host, Jay Stevens, and this is a Monday Victory edition of the Full Press Colts Podcast, part of the Full Press Coverage Podcast Network. Colts fans, Colts played dominant in a very dominant way on Sunday against the Jets in a 36-7 outcome. We can hold our heads high as we're going to work. We don't have to have our heads down or frown or not be happy to enjoy or to endure or to be around sports talk that particular day because of the way that the Colts played. No, sir, Rebob. The Colts played phenomenal. Stephen Holder said he was underwhelmed by the way that the Colts played in the first half. But when you look at the totality of the game, the Colts played dominant. Yeah, there were some hiccups. Yeah, there were some holes. Yeah, they need to improve in certain ways. But all in all, we're looking at the way that the game went on Sunday. The Colts played the way we expect the Colts to play. And the rest is history. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at JStevens07. You can catch and listen to the Full Press Colts Podcast via either the Full Press Coverage app or Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your fine podcasts. Remember to always subscribe, rate, and review. Give us those 5 stars. It helps us move up the chart. On today's show, got 3 different segments for you. Going to be a quick show, a way that we're going to be introduced to the new format on a consistent basis, the way that Jay is going to do this thing when he is solo on the pod. Coming up first, something that I liked in this game that impressed me that I think can propel this team to success down the road in this season. Segment number two, some things that the offense did well and the defense did well that were, I won't say shocking, but things that they know they can do, and I'm just glad that they're doing them. And then segment number three, one specific player that I think is building confidence right now in this season based off some calls that Frank Reich is making during the game that could be huge down the road in crucial games during this season. Colts fans, this game on Sunday was nice to see, and for so many times down the road in so many games previously, let's go back in time a little bit. We have watched Colts games, and in watching Colts games, we see that the Colts don't play the way they're supposed to based off of who their opponent is that particular game. So many times we have seen the Colts play down to their opponent. So many times we have seen them either play up to their opponent, play right to the level that their opponent is, or play down to their opponent. Hence what we saw during week one of the NFL season. The Jaguars have no business at all playing with the Colts, being on the same field with the Colts, beating the Colts, none of that stuff. But what we find is when you're not a disciplined football team, when you're not sound on both your position on the offensive side, the defensive side, and in special teams, you get an outcome like we got during week number one. We saw on Thursday that the Jaguars lose to the Dolphins, and I believe that's truly who the Jaguars are and who they will be throughout this season. You can say whatever you want. Oh, the Colts don't win in Jacksonville. The Colts don't win in season openers. Forget all that. That's the past. This is a new year, a new day, and as the season keeps going on, we're finding out this is a new Colts team, a different team than we're used to watching. But however, one thing that I think that we can take from this game, coming off of last week's game where they were dominant, where they stifled Dalvin Cook, where people that are Vikings fans are saying, give Dalvin Cook the ball, make sure that he gets the rock, let him scoot the way that he can. No. The Colts defense, after that first drive last week, they said, no, we're not going to let Dalvin Cook get loose. We're not going to let him scoot around the field. And we saw what happened. The defensive line played phenomenal in week two, continued that going on in week three. We'll get to some more specifics about the defense and the offensive lines of the Colts and about how they played well in areas that they can improve. But all in all, when you look at the totality of the game, it was nice and refreshing to see that the Colts played up and played at the level that they can play at, that they should play at, and hopefully that they will play at coming up this next weekend, almost a week from now, when they play the Bears. The Bears coming off a comeback win over the Falcons. Currently, they are 3-0, something that nobody really expected going into the season. They benched Trubisky. They put Foles into the game, and Foles does what he does, completes a comeback win over on the road against the Atlanta Falcons. The Colts will have to face that this coming Sunday. But when thinking about the Colts facing the Jets with the injuries that the Jets had, and even when Mekhi Becton, the starting, I believe, left tackle of the Jets went down, the Colts didn't say, oh, they're down, they lost another player, we're not going to do what we need, we're going to fold just like they are. That was not the case. From Rivers to Taylor, even T.Y. played better. How about Mo Alie-Cox is a wide open catch in space, and he even said, I've never been that wide open ever in my life while playing football at any level. So I had no idea what to do. That just shows that this team is getting better and better and better. And going into this season, I was kind of wondering when we would find different wrinkles, when the offense would start to get into formation. I am one that is not a person to try to read into too much of what happens during the first quarter of the season, either weeks one through week four. But one thing I can say, if the Colts continue to play like this, this will be a good formula for wins, for success in this season. Coming up next, we'll get into some things that I like from the offense and defensive sides of the ball, and a couple ways they can improve going up against the Bears in week number four. Welcome back, guys. And going into the game, one thing I was focusing on the Jets side of the ball was how the Jets would utilize Frank Gore and how the Colts front seven would combat that. Because I know when you look at the Jets injury report, which I believe last I checked after Friday's practices and when you saw the inactives that came out on Sunday, the injury report on Friday was extensive. I believe it had 17 players on it. And then on Sunday when it came out, it was a little bit less. But then you saw even during the game, Mekhi Becton went down. And the Jets have just been hit with the injury bug really, really, really bad. And I know Sam Darnold, one thing that he knows, every quarterback knows, every offensive coach knows, the way to help a guy that is trying to find ways anyway to move the ball is to have a solid running game, a consistent running game. And even though Frank Gore is 37 years old, and he's a guy that, in most accounts, in most situations, wouldn't even be in the league at all, Frank Gore is a guy that has been withstanding the test of time and is saying, I'm going to keep my body ready so I don't have to get ready when it's time to get ready. He's always in tip-top shape. He's always doing things to prepare himself mentally, physically, emotionally for a game so that he can assist his quarterback in whatever way it is to help them move the ball and to help him or his quarterback or somebody else on the team get to pay dirt. Well, I knew one thing specifically. Without Le'Veon Bell and without the receivers, I know Crowder being the top receiver for the Jets, without players on the Jets that they need to move the ball, one thing Sam Darnold and the offense was potentially going to try to do was stick the ball into the stomach, into the chest of Mr. Frank Gore and let Frank Gore spin, let him move around and try to exploit some holes in the defensive front of the Colts defense, D-line, linebacker, especially with the rotation that the Colts D-line has. You know that at some point you're going to get a guy tired, bam, hit that hole, which normally would be a one-yard loss or no gain at all, which at that time it would be an 8 or 9 yard gain because you hit it at just the right time. But Frank Gore, 15 carries, 57 yards, 3.8 yards a carry, really I think was huge in the Colts saying, hey, old man, I know you back there. I know you used to be on our team. I know what you used to do here when you wanted to show off and you wanted to be like, oh, I am an old man playing a young man's game and this old man is improving and showing off in a young man's game. The Colts said, hey, man, this isn't going to happen. No. This is not going to happen. We're not going to let you scoot. We're not going to let you embarrass us. We're not going to let you do anything to the tune. They're not just Frank Gore with those yards, but ultimately at the end of the game, the Jets Jets had 29 rushing yards, 109 total yards, no, 29 carries, 109 total yards for a total of 3.8 yards per carry. Now, that is also aided by the play of the secondary flying around reckless abandon. Julian Blackman impresses once again. Going to be doing some film study on Monday morning. So when I come back with you on Wednesday, I will dive in and have a segment talking about some things that stuck out from film that I watched on Monday. On the offensive side and the defensive side after watching some tape and seeing what really the scheme and schematically the Colts are doing that really frustrated the Jets. Even to the tune of trying to figure out why Xavier Rhodes on that pick, blown coverage, but still was able to fight back and make that pick even though he was not on the right guy initially. But when he realized he was on the wrong guy, he went back, recovered, and made a pick in the back of the end zone. Jets in the red zone trying to capitalize on being in the red zone. Sam Darnold, what he thought, what the Jets thought, possibly, what I was thinking would be a hesitation was not a hesitation. It was a strength for the Colts, and it was a way that the Colts would we see the secondary. We see the LBs, and I love watching Darius Leonard play and seeing how he flies around all over the field, but he couldn't do that without the front four, without the D-line, without those young guys. And Tyquan Lewis, DeForest Buckner continues, Justin Houston, these guys continue to play reckless abandon when they're on the field, and without them playing that way, there is no way that the Colts defense could play as dominant as it is and being the best defense in the league that it is. Go back and look statistically on ESPN.com or any other stat base that's out there, stat website that's out there, ProFootballFocus.com, PFF. They will show you by the numbers analytically, this Colts defense through week three is the best in the league. That's not just me saying it. That is literally what we're watching every single week. Got a tough test against the Bears. We'll talk more about that coming up later in the week. But on the offensive side of the ball, can we just stop and talk about how nice it is to look and see how efficient Phillip Rivers is? Not just the efficiency, but seeing how many receivers and how he's able to pass the ball and get the ball to so many guys. He threw the ball to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, eight players, completed passes to eight players, nine targets total. And even though there may be some fans that say, hey, Phillip, get the ball to T.Y. more. Give T.Y. more catches. Let T.Y. spin. He just talked to his grandmama. Let him spin. Phillip Rivers knows. And he's been around way too long to not understand this. The more you spread the ball around, the more you get the ball to the right pieces at the right time when they're open, it opens the holes up for the offense to move. Phillip Rivers is not a guy that's trying to make people happy. He's not a guy that's trying to, oh, you want to complain? Like receivers do, divas as they're called. You want to complain and say, give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball. Okay, I'll give you the ball. And when you mess up, I'll stop throwing you the ball and get the ball to the right person at that time. Like I mentioned earlier, Mo Alie-Cox, he's a guy, I think it was a 6'6", 6'7", 265, 270 pounds. I'm not being facetious. Go check it out. He is a huge mammoth human being. Ball, his hands make the ball look small. And he's a basketball player on the football field that continues to get better and better and better. And I truly believe that him playing with the veteran quarterback is part of the reason he's in these spaces and he's getting the ball as wide open as he is. Like I mentioned, the catch was a 45-yard catch where he was wide open when he caught the ball. He talked about how he had never been that open, that wide open ever in his life. Not once. Not once. In any level of football, he had never been that wide open with that much open space on him at all. He said he had no idea what to do. He was kind of confused. I mean, Phillip Rivers, thank you. Thank you. With all the with all the gunslinger mentality, with you throwing the ball around and making errant passes and making things look very, very rough to the naked eye, one thing I will say is Phillip Rivers is leading this team in a very, very, very efficient way, in a way that I was not expecting. 17 of 21 completions and attempts, 200 passing yards, one touchdown, 10.3 yards per completion. I will say, guys, we got a quarterback. This may be the quarterback play we would have possibly expected from Andrew Luck. Different offense, different style, different makeup of the team. And even though Phillip Rivers is an old man playing a young man's game, I will say this fit so far this season, this year for the Colts has been one that has worked very, very well. Not to perfection. We're not undefeated. Not going that far. But it's worked very, very, very well. And I'm just excited to see what else comes, what else we see from this Colts offense hinging mainly from the play of Phillip Rivers and how efficient he has been this year. And before we begin talking about a player that I believe Frank Reich could be helping build confidence right now that could be utilized down the road, I want to say thank you so much. I know the podcast was away for a few months. It's back right now for the season, and it will be here for quite a long time consistently. The podcast was released on Monday. The episode 9, the first episode that I did reviving the podcast, came out Friday, just a few days ago. And at the time of me recording this on Sunday evening, the podcast has already had that 9th episode that I did reviving the show has already had over 1,500 downloads. Thank you so much. Continue to tell people, share it with your friends. Remember to do everything that you do when you like something. Tell people about it. Let people know if they want the Colts coverage that they love, if they want Colts coverage that they will love. Full Press Colts has them covered. And someone that I think the Colts may rely on down the road that'll have them covered in crucial situations is none other than himself, Mr. Hot Rod. That's what his nickname is, Mr. Rodrigo Blankenship, Mr. Rec Specs. Whatever you want to call that man, nickname-wise, do it. Go right ahead. He's used to it. We don't know why I know he's used to it or how I know he's used to it. He's a kicker. They get picked on all the time. Back in his days at Georgia, going up to being drafted by the, coming to the Colts, not being drafted by the Colts, but winning over the kicking job over Chase McLaughlin, every Colts fan was wondering what we would see from Hot Rod. What we would see from the guy wearing the rec specs on the field as he's kicking. Would he be consistent? Would he be a guy that we can trust in crucial moments in games? And I believe it was in the second quarter of this game, Colts had a drive. Went incomplete on first and 10. They were on their own 23-yard line. Second down, 46-yard wide open completion to Mo Alie-Cox, which I referenced earlier. First and 10 on the Jets 32-yard line. The Colts ran the ball with Nyheim Hines, 4-yard run. Ran the ball again on second and 6, 3-yard run for Jonathan Taylor. And then they were halted on third down. It was 3rd and 3. They were halted by the front 7 of the Jets defense. Really was a very predictable formation. If you remember that, it was a tight formation. I think they were in shotgun. Handed the ball off, and well, they didn't get anywhere. And Frank Reich had a decision to make. Would he go for it like he had done so many times? Would he go for it again, even though he was in a position for where he could go for it and it could be justifiable based off the position of the field that he was in? Or would he go to his kicker? He's not a perfect guy. I mean, he missed a kick in this game. Had a long of 42 yards, which was a kick we're talking about here. But he missed a kick in this game. So Hot Rod's not perfect. No kicker's perfect. As good as Adam Vinatieri, as great as Adam Vinatieri was, as great as Mike Vanderjagt used to be for you Colts fans that have been around for a long time, they missed kicks. They're human. It's going to happen. But at some point, you have to show your kicker, I trust you. I believe in you, and I will assist you to help you build the confidence that you are looking for so that down the road in crucial games and big-time moments, you know that I have your I believe in you. I have the confidence needed that you will do what is needed to make this kick and to help us put the point on the board that will help lead us to victory. Rodrigo, Hot Rod, Rec Specs, whatever you want to call that man, Mr. Blankenship, it don't matter. He came on the field, nailed the kick, and it was so refreshing, so enjoyable to watch a kicker make said kick in that moment, knowing that normally in those situations in this season, Frank Reich goes for it. No questions asked. 4th and short with Jonathan Taylor behind you and the O-line you have that's in front of Phillip Rivers. Best believe sometimes going forward, it's like you're in Madden. You just call plays in real life like you're playing a video game. Sometimes that's Frank Reich's mindset. But Frank Reich knows. And I think I tweeted this out to Jim Aiello of the Indy Star. I think it was Jim Aiello. It was either Jim Aiello or Joel Erickson. But I believe it was Jim Aiello. Tweeted out to him, and he was talking about how it seemed a little odd that went back. And I came back with it. Made a lot of sense. You have to build confidence in your kicker, especially a rookie kicker, a guy that doesn't know the league very well and is trying to find his footing. He's trying to just get on the field to get his feet wet. Well, right now, that's a moment that Hot Rod was able to get his feet wet, made the kick, and you never know. Down the road, in big games, especially in division games where you're trying to decide if you're going to win the division or even make a wild card spot, even though there are more wild card spots this year, one extra spot per conference, you don't want to be in that spot. You want to make sure that when if it comes down to a tiebreaker, if it comes down to something, you're on the right side of it, or you're two or three wins ahead of the next person behind you in the division or in your conference to make sure that, no, we're getting the higher spot, we're getting the higher seed, and it all could be traced back to early moments in the season like this where Frank Reich is saying, hey, I know I have gone for it so many times, but right now I need to kick this field goal, not just for the points, but because down the road I may need my kicker to make a big-time kick, and he knows that, hey, fourth and short, I'm not going for it. I trust in your leg, young man, to make this kick, to put those points on the board. Colts victory, Colts win. Hot Rod made that kick, put a smile on my face to see a kicker do that, because we all know, goodness, kickers in Indianapolis, out of Vinatieri to what we saw last year, we don't want to see that again. Come back on Wednesday. We'll have a little film session. We'll have a midweek update about things going on around Colts camp, around the Colts facility, some updates from press conferences, some things I like. And also, in the film session, I will go over some things that I liked from the offensive side, of the defensive side, and briefly things I didn't like from both sides to kind of highlight ways we can get better and things we are doing very, very well. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. Remember, you can always follow, listen to the podcast via the Full Press Coverage app or your Apple, your Spotify, your Stitcher, or wherever you get your fine podcast. You can find this one. Come back Wednesday morning, a midweek update edition of the Full Press Colts podcast. Remember, Colts fans, keep your head high, keep your head held high. Not everybody can do that. The Colts win big. Unfortunately, Falcons fans cannot. This is Jay Stevens, the host of the podcast, signing off. I will see you Wednesday for a midweek update edition of the Full Press Colts podcast.